T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 1050, WFAN, New York City. All sports, all the time.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the first broadcast of WFAN All Sports 1050. You're sharing a part of radio history with us today. This is the beginning of the first 24-hour-a-day sports station. I'm Susan Waldman. The message board outside Yankee Stadium today reads Vintage Guidry, and last night was indeed a classic Gator performance. Guidry struck out 9 and only walked 1 as the Yanks extended their lead to 2 games in the AL East. They're going on right now up at Exhibition Stadium, and in the top of the 5th, there's no score.
WFAN Sports Flash.
And good afternoon at 3 o'clock. I am Susan Waldman. Summer camp has begun for Major League Baseball players. The Yanks and Mets both reported once again more than 3 months after spring training was stopped during the coronavirus. The two teams will begin workouts later this week with the 60-game season to start on July 23rd or 24th. Nets general manager Sean Marks said they're committed to playing in Orlando. The team is without roughly a half dozen players due to injury and the coronavirus. DeAndre Jordan opted out after testing positive recently. Mark said he's unsure whether Spencer Dinwiddie will join the team after testing positive and experiencing symptoms. Brooklyn was 7th in the East when the league shut down, just a half game in front of the 8th place Magic. The NHL is reportedly focusing on Toronto and Edmonton as its hub cities for its restart. Las Vegas had been one previous target, but the league's plans changed after a recent spike in coronavirus cases. Nothing is final until the players vote on the return to play proposal later this week. UConn officially rejoined the Big East today after spending the last 7 years in the American Athletic Conference. Bikes battled COVID-19. The Long Island Bike Challenge, Sunday, August 2nd, bike across Long Island to beat COVID-19. For more information and to register, go to lichallenge.org. That's lichallenge.org. It's 82 degrees out here in Westchester County, and that's what's happening. I'm Susan Waldman. Listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app and favorite us today. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WFAN.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe, on WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no, gotta go to Joe and Evan, Evan and Joe.
All right, 302 on The Fan, hour 2 of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666. Is the phone number here to 6 o'clock? Of course, Mike Francesa, Big Mike. He will come your way. Ernie Acosta in Manhattan. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studio, where nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
So, Susan, do you want to do the update at 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, too? Because that was brilliant. Brilliantly
you know
done.
You know, maybe if I had been that good back then, they wouldn't have tried to fire me.
So oh, no.
I don't know. No, thank you. That's okay.
No, hold on a minute now. Now, what? Susan, now that you have brought this up, they tried to fire you back then?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Did I? How would I know that? I don't know that.
It's folklore.
Folklore.
It was the first day. It was the first day. It was like maybe the second update I heard. Get that smart aleck bleep off my air. Get that smart aleck bleep with the Boston accent off of my air in primetime.
Really?
What was the smart aleck thing you said during an update?
No, I want to know who said it. That's forget that.
One of the owners. One of the owners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the owners of the radio station went on to own the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, wow. I know who it is.
Yeah, no, Jeff says he never said it. So somebody said it. Somebody said it. It was one of the owners, and I was sitting there with Jim Lampley, and he said, just keep going, just keep going. So I did. Oh, yeah,
And you didn't get fired.
Well, they couldn't. No, I did updates for a little while longer. That's how I met John Sterling, actually, because he did one of those weeks. But they couldn't fire me because I had a non-fireable contract.
That's a good contract to have.
Yeah. Well, my agent was pretty smart.
Yeah.
And so what they did was shift me to the overnights, thinking I would quit, which
you
I
know,
didn't.
Susan,
wow.
Mink told me the
overnights?
Same.
Summers. Steve Summers was wonderful. I adore Steve Summers and I. He taught me how to put together a little tape, sound on tape and all the things because he knew all of it. And it became some back then, if you remember, we were doing four updates, 5 minutes long on the 15s. It wasn't 2020. It was every 15 minutes. And there was no computers. This was rip and read back there. So I'd make mistakes. I would read what would be on there. And if it was wrong, that's what went on the air because you didn't have time to do it because you had to do a full update. Well, once the games were over in the middle of the night, Summers and I would just, you know, I'd schmooze too. I would sing the national anthem to truck drivers at 4 a.m. We would talk to college kids. Oh, we had a great time. I owe a lot to Steve Summers. He taught me an awful lot. And then it became something else. Then it became, it backfired on them. Because not only did I not leave, you know, I got more things to do. So anyway,
put together a hell of a career. Mink always used to say that, and maybe you disagree, but that the early days of FAN, it was all about the update. That's the way he looked at it. Like the station was around the update. And you just kind of touched on it, that there were 4 updates per hour. They were long. Did you get that sense too, that it was update first, hosting of the show second?
Well, the only reason maybe he would think that is I hated the updates. I knew I wasn't because I can talk. I can't read. I mean, I make mistakes. I wanted to give opinions. I wanted to do that. There wasn't a whole lot of that. What there was, we had a lot of national broadcasters on.
Right.
And I knew at the very beginning, if we could get a New York flavor here, it was too national. I mean, you got guys coming in from Houston talking about Houston football. Nobody cares about that. They want to talk about there's enough sports here. We didn't need people coming from out of town to talk about, you know, to be like referees for fans calling in. And I always knew if we could just get to just New York stuff, there's enough here to talk about.
Right.
You don't need to talk about Oregon. You want to talk about Oregon, go ahead. But not when there's so much else going on here. I hated the updates. And it was awful. So, you know, Mink loved doing that. And he was better at it than I couldn't do it. I was busy trying to figure out, you know, it took all this time to write these things because you had the little word processors. Remember, they were green. Oh, Evan doesn't remember, but Joe, you probably do. It was a green background and white print. Those were word processors, and that's the only thing that you could do if you didn't write it by hand. It was on those things. Oh, it was awful. It was awful.
Did you, that first day, and of course, we're talking to Susan Waldman, that first day, what was your thoughts on this radio station? I mean, on this all sports station, did you think it was going to make it? I mean, what was your thoughts about that?
You know, I did, Joe. I thought if they did it right, it really, there's so much sports in this town.
Right,
there is
right.
so much, and people talk about it all the time. You know, I was one of those guys, when I was in theater, I would have kids that work backstage call sports phone and get me the scores of teams. So if it was me doing that, just think about guys like you. I always knew it would work. I know that they did it wrong, and then maybe they paid too much money, and they brought in national guys. But of course there's... And it's New York. You got 2 of everything, sometimes 3 of everything. And I didn't see, unless they really messed it up financially, I had no idea how this could fail. I really didn't see it.
What year did you start covering the Yankees?
87. That year.
Oh, so right from the beginning you were covering the Yankees.
Well, here's the thing that happened. No, I did everything. Well, here's what happened. One of the things, I saw the writing on the wall with the... with the update thing, They John Shannon, who was the first general manager, thought, you know, I like to talk and fight and stuff. And they thought it would be pretty cute to have this girl talking with Pete Franklin, who was, you know, one of those nasty guys, yelled at people and hung up and all that stuff. They thought it would be kind of cute. Well, Pete Franklin didn't show up for months. So they had to do different kinds of hosts. When they moved him to the updates, which was really fast, it was just a couple of weeks, I guess. And I actually went to the program director then, the late John Pruder, and I said, you know, you got all these guys, you had like Moss Klein and maybe Bill Madden and all these people calling Greg Gumbel in the morning. Greg Gumbel was the morning host. And talking, you know, well, let's talk about the Yankees last night. And you had all these newspaper guys who weren't going to give you anything because they wanted to put it in their paper. So they weren't going to do anything. So I actually went to John Pruder and said, this isn't going to work. Give me a tape recorder. I'll drive everywhere. And I'll go to the games and I'll talk to people and I'll stick my microphone in there. And then you'll have your own people and I'll break stories, which I did for a really long time. But that's how that started. So I would do Yankees. I did some Mets. I did all three hockey teams for, I did both basketball teams with tape and everything. And then I'd come and do the updates with Steve Summers at midnight.
When did you start? I remember you doing the Knicks, Susan. I got to tell you, and obviously I'm a Knicks fan. I remember you doing the Knicks.
'87. That was Patino. I was because that started because they had won 20. That was the year they drafted Mark Jackson, if you remember.
Yeah.
He was a rookie at St. John's, and they had won 24 games. See, I love basketball. That was I loved the Celtics, and I loved baseball first, but I adored basketball, and you know, and I wanted to do some basketball, and nobody, the guys there, had never heard of this guy coming to coach the Knicks, somebody named Patino. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, knew when he was coaching BU and had the kids running up and down the court and with bricks in their hands because they weren't in shape. So I said, I'll go. And nobody wanted to drive to Westchester because that's where they practiced. And I said, I'll go.
You're telling me, because Patino had been on UB Browns. He was an assistant for UB Brown. He had coached Providence to the Final Four as well. Nobody really knew who he was.
Well,
when he took
but people,
Knicks.
You know, the Knicks were awful. They'd won 24 games.
Right. No,
and
I
they
understand.
Didn't see it. And you're bringing in a college coach?
Right.
You know, I got to the Yankees because everybody wanted to go across town because the Mets had just won the World Series. That's what happened here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'll go.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The one more thing, when I did all three hockey teams and things, everybody wanted to go to the Rangers. I didn't do a whole lot of Ranger games. I did Island games, and I did almost every home Devil game. So when the Devils went to the, it was Brendan Shanahan's first year, so I don't remember what year that was. But so when they went to the playoffs, I had to go because I was the only one who knew the team.
Wow.
So you did every, I mean, you were like just like, so you're covering the Yankees, you're covering the Knicks, you're covering the two of the hockey teams. Everybody wanted to do the Rangers.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Basically every team.
You were everywhere.
But that's what I always tell people, that make yourself indispensable. You know,
right,
I did Seton Hall games. The reason I found out that, that's how I became friends with PJ. I was doing a doubleheader at the Meadowlands when the reason I broke the story that Orlando Woolridge was missing, I was there. I was sitting there doing a Seton Hall St. John's game. No, St. Peter's, I think, game. And we had time, and I'm walking around. And I guess Bob McKinnon was the coach. And I heard everybody talking. And I picked up the phone, and I called the station. It was 5 o'clock.
Wow.
And nobody, you know, but that's, you know, that's what you did back then.
I remember, and I'd love to hear more. I'm sure everybody would love to hear more about this story, how you brokered the peace between Yogi Berra and George Steinbrenner after all that time
at
of their
museum,
being
right?
issues.
Wasn't
that
Yogi's museum?
Right. Well, that stopped and started a couple of times. And the funny thing, you know, because I had never met Yogi. I think I was introduced to him once by the Rizzutos at Mel Allen's funeral, but I'd never met him. And everybody, Gene Michael, Arthur Richmond, everybody had been trying to get them together. And Mark Chernoff, Kloff, our program director, calls me one day and says, you know, Yogi Berra is starting a museum. You're going to come and you're going to host from 6 to 9. And wouldn't it be a good idea if George and Yogi made up on the air? I said, yeah, that'd be great, Mark. That'd be so good. And then George called me a couple days later about something else. And I said to him, George, I want to talk to you about Yogi. And he said, what's wrong? And as soon as he said, what's wrong, because I think it was right when Otto Graham, his friend, had died, and he saw it, and he was there, and people were getting sick around him. And so when he said, what's wrong, I asked him. I said, you know, I'm doing this show, and you guys should make up. And he said, well, we'll talk about it in spring training and maybe during the season. I said, no, you got to do it now. You got to do it on that day or I'm going to be talking to the 73 Mets for 4 hours and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so he was laughing, and it was brokered. Dale Barra and I brokered it. I never knew Yogi, but my allegiance was to George, and I didn't want him to be embarrassed. And George had to come here to the museum, and he must have really wanted to do it because he did. It stopped a couple times because the governor of Florida died and George had to go to the funeral. And Yogi had said, I want him to apologize. And George would say, what does he want me to apologize for? And I said, I don't know, George, you did it. But we broke it back and forth. And, you know, and bless George, he got in a plane in January and flew to New Jersey. And really did. And it was, the thing that was awful about it was that we weren't allowed to tell anybody. We knew this was going to happen, but we weren't allowed. It wasn't in the paper. It wasn't anything. And so that we get to the museum, and we're in this empty auditorium, and it's Mark and the PR director, Rick Cerrone of the Yankees, and me and everybody in FAN, and Yogi, and George comes in, and whether they make up or not, we don't know what's going to happen. So we didn't want it. George said, you can't tell anybody just in case it didn't work. But the thing I remember most about this whole thing, it was a great, great night. I remember saying, I'm Susan Waldman at Yogi Berra Museum. Mr. Berra, you remember Mr. Steinbrenner, you remember Mr. Berra. Yeah. And I had set up everybody to call. I'd set up Ted Williams. I'd set up Joe Garagiola, Bill White, everybody's friends. I had set it up. And as we were talking, when George's voice hit the air, I swear to God, guys, people started running in. I mean, people from the train station, they heard it in grocery stores, in the gym. The doors kept opening in the back of the auditorium until you couldn't fit another person in that little auditorium. Because they heard it, and they were, you know, and everybody ran in. It was really it was a very cool night.
Talking, of course, to Susan Waldman, of course, the 33-year anniversary of WFAN today. She's the first voice ever on WFAN. You did the midday show too, right? 10 to 1. You did it for Jody McDonald for a number of years?
I did it for 2.5 years until Yes was going on the air. You know what? If I didn't have to drive to Astoria, I mean, I was doing 10 o'clock, so, and I live up in northern Westchester, and I'd have to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning
to get there.
And then I'd go to the stadium, and at 1 o'clock, it would take me like an hour and a half to get from Astoria to the parking lot in Yankee Stadium. I said, I can't do this anymore.
I just can't do it.
I understand.
I would leave 5:30, and this is no lie. I've been 5:30 in the morning, 5:45 for the 10 o'clock show.
No, that's
because of the traffic. From
and
Jersey.
It's fine when you get there, but you're a wreck when you get there. I mean, you're angry and upset and everything. And once you calm down and have 7 cups of coffee and bagels or whatever, whoever brought in whatever, and you know, but it wasn't worth it. That really
no, I
wasn't
understand.
Worth it.
No. Totally get that.
Totally.
Especially now,
I bet
Susan.
You do. No, I know. It's like somebody said, well, come down here. Come down to the station. I wouldn't go to that station now. Can you imagine me going 2 hours down to the tip end of Manhattan?
God bless you.
No, thank you. No,
amen. I understand.
The commute that Joe and I both have now is a little bit different.
Yeah,
it's walking up a staircase.
I kind of like the commute.
Isn't it nice? No,
oh,
something.
My God.
I've been doing shows with Howie, and it's really nice. I'm looking out my window. I've got the dog downstairs. You know, during updates, I'll get down, let her out, and we'll throw balls around. I'll come back. It's really lovely.
Isn't it
lovely? I think
it's very
the world is going to change.
lovely is an outstanding word to you, Susan. I'm with you.
Susan, what do you...
What do you think about this baseball season? Like, I'm cautiously optimistic. 3 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to get Yankees Nationals. How are you feeling about this right now?
I'm a little scared, to tell you the truth. I know, I guess you have to try, but it's, I don't see it. I'm sorry if people call and yell at me. I'm sorry. I just don't see it. I mean, if it was just in a bubble and the rest of the United States wasn't exploding with 19-year-olds running around and passing it to everybody, I'm a little frightened. I'm a little frightened, and it's. I hope it's not just being that they're just not being tone deaf. I know that they're going to take precautions. My goodness, it's 160-odd pages. They've got everything, including how you're supposed to, if you're in the media, what to do, how many people can be in there. I know they're trying, but boy, do I have serious misgivings about all of this, and it's health stuff. How much is something like this worth? Should your life be put? I'm in that age and that risk age. A lot of people are, and I've seen my career. I've thought of my career ending in a lot of different ways, not this way. Yeah. I mean, it's scary. I mean, you do what you can, but you keep yourself safe. And I think a lot of people aren't going to take chances that they would if they were younger. Obviously, Minnesota has asked its two coaches after 60, not over 60, not to be on the field. They don't want them, put them at that risk. I think it's risky. I hope it works for everybody's sake, because I think it'll be just like frosting on a cake. I mean, if you want to take this season seriously, go ahead. That's fine. But it's just a sort of a nice present that you're getting. It's a little joy that you can come home and turn on a ball game, whether it is. I don't know how seriously you take the year and who's going to do what. And, I wouldn't be surprised if the Tampa Bay Rays run, because they're in it every single year until they peter out because they don't have, they don't have depth. All these, I think a lot of teams that aren't really that good, that aren't set up for a whole season can be very good. So it might be fun. I just hope everybody is safe. I'd like it to work. I think it'll help everybody, but I do have serious misgivings.
Before I let you go, I just want to, if it does come off, you're going to be, tell me if I'm wrong or not, you will do the home games from Yankee Stadium, but the road games you'll do also from Yankee Stadium as well. Is that correct, Susan, or not?
I don't know. It changes all the time. That's
Does it?
To be
okay.
determined. To me, that is the safest way for John and I to work, that
okay.
being outside.
Right.
John in one booth and I next to him. And, and I'd walk in, you walk in the door, I'd walk up the stairs and into the booth with my mask and my gloves. I also have everything. I have the wands. I have the thing that stands on the ground, the UV lights, so I could go and do it myself and all that. No, we take everything. That is the safest way to do it, whether they're going to let us do it like that or not. I hope so, but, we'll have to see what happens.
Right.
Well, congratulations on all your success. We appreciate you coming on and celebrating the birthday of the fan.
Yeah, happy anniversary, everybody.
Indeed.
Another 33. I won't be doing them, but you'll be doing them.
Not me. No,
not
no,
you.
No, no.
All right.
No.
All right. We'll be sitting in rocking chairs.
Evan will be doing it, not me. I hope I'm sitting in a rocking chair.
We'll be in
Susan,
a rocking
you
chair.
That.
You and me and Joe will be drinking whatever you want to drink. How's that?
Thank you, Susan.
Okay,
all right,
bye.
Susan. You
bye
take
bye.
Care.
Susan Waldman, the voice, one of the voices of the New York Yankees, who hopefully will start a season 3 weeks from tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.